Hey, Pastor Seth is at Uprise with the youth today, so you got to have me at the front end. All right. Yeah, here we go. Hey, if you're new to us, welcome. We're glad you're here at Community, and we want you to know it. And if you have, all right, we have a lot of sound in the back. If ushers could close the doors, that'd be great. If you are new, we have a bag of some goodies for you out on the counter, and we'd like you to get them before you go. And there's a card in there you can fill out to let us know about you. If you noticed when you came in today that the plastic in the expansion area is not there, that means you can go back and look. Do not mark on the walls, or we will come to your home. And you will be making a significant donation to the expansion project. Well, maybe you should mark on the walls. I have that in mind. Okay, I don't know. All right. Hey, it's looking great. We're coming along. Phase one is almost done. Phase 1A, let's put it that way. There's a phase 1B coming up, too. But, check it out. Check it out. It's kind of fun. By the way, as you might have seen this week on some of our social media posts, we're not ready yet to move the kids into kids' church there. So anybody kindergarten through fifth grade will stay in the house here during our service, and that'll probably be till the end of the month. There's some details there that we can't move in until all the permits and approvals are there. So we'll let you know. Okay, so kids, I know that Miss Carrie has some papers back there you can pick up on your way in that might be fun for you to use while you're here. So check that out. With the upcoming start of Sunday School in Awana, we will need some additional volunteers because some things are going to be laid out a little bit differently. So, and that can be on Sunday morning. If you want to help with the check-in and stuff, then you can still be in here. I mean, so there's a lot of different options. So check with Carrie about that. I know she'd be glad to talk to you about what the needs are. We do have some people wanting to be baptized. And so I'm in the process of determining when we're going to do that. And if you might be one that hasn't talked to me about that, let me know as soon as possible, because that'll be a part of our planning. So make sure you make that contact. Be sure to save the date for October 4th. The Knobs are hosting our Fall Church Festival, and that begins at 1 o'clock. And there are details on some materials on the Welcome Center counter out there, so pick those up. Walk for Life with Capital Area Pregnancy Center fundraiser will take place Friday evening, October 3rd at 6:30 at Vibrant Church, and you can register online for that. I know your participation will be a great help to them. I want to mention that this week, small group leaders, we're going to have a meeting on Thursday night at 6:30 right here to kind of get ready for this season. And if you have an interest in being a small group leader, you're welcome to attend. If you are a small group leader, please be there. Okay. A lot of things going on this week. Ladies' night at Cracker Barrel Monday night. Bible study for ladies Tuesday, 9 a.m. and 6:30. Youth group Wednesday at 6:30. Prayer team Wednesday at 6:30. And Saturday is our men's breakfast at Sunnyside Restaurant. So a lot happening. So take advantage of those that fits you. Hey, one of the things that we're going to be doing starting now is actually monthly featuring a missionary that we support. And so Jules Francis is coming up to give us the information for this month.
We're going to see if this works. I don't know how to use this microphone. Oh, hey, cool. Works for me. I don't have to yell. Like you said, I'm Jules Francis. If we haven't met, if you heard a loud amen from a toddler, that's my kid. My husband Jake's back on the sound bar. You probably know me through my kid. But like Pastor Glenn said, sorry, I don't like talking in front of people. This is just really important to me, so I'm going to sound really nervous. But it's more important to do it, so here we are. This is our partner of the month. Each month we're going to just share with you someone we already support that's doing really cool work here in the States, somewhere else in the world, some kind of work focused on sharing the gospel. So one thing we did with them recently, you may remember back in, when did we end up going? June? I should know that. I did not make it for obvious reasons. We went and paid in some of their outbuildings that the Huckles have at their administrative building. So they had, it's this building. They also have another building we're hoping to go work on at some point. But we just went and did a lot of cleanup work. That's our team that went that day up in the corner. And there's some of our before and after. It was a lot of just a really long day of that manual labor that they don't always get to because they're doing the other ministry opportunities that I'm going to tell you about. So that was a really cool opportunity to go see them. And we're hoping to do more of that in the future. So if you enjoy or just want to try, even if you've never done it before, any kind of work like that, we're hoping to go and work on their other building soon. But these are the Huckles. They are the leads of Hananel Ministries. We have actually supported them for a long time. It was funny, I emailed Tom and tried to find out, like, hey, how long have we supported you so I can give people some background? And he told me basically it was at the other building when we were still called Community Baptist in the 80s. So we've been friends with them for a very long time. Well, I say we. I'm a 90s baby, but we have been friends with them for a very long time. And it's a really cool partnership and a really cool one to end up focusing on when we're in Romans, I think, because they work specifically with the Russian-speaking Jewish community that is out near Philly. So I've kind of had them a lot on my mind as we've been speaking about the Jewish church and the Gentile church and how all that mingles together and how beautiful that is. So I really just wanted to share with you some ways you can be praying for them. And these are a really good example of some of the work they do. They host a lot of Jewish festivals. They help that community just celebrate those things throughout the Old Testament that you've probably heard or glossed over. And they host those events and use that opportunity to show how God wanted us to see Jesus in those festivals. So they have a couple of festivals coming up. Rosh Hashanah, which is the Feast of Trumpets, Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, and Sukkot, which is the Feast of Tabernacle. So if you've heard some of those ones, those festivals mentioned in the Old Testament, and even some in the New Testament, they will be hosting banquets for that community and sharing how you can see Jesus through all of what God told them to celebrate. Here are these cool symbols that are there and different opportunities for us to see Jesus and celebrate the provision God's already done and see the provision of a Savior. So that's a really cool way they share the gospel with the Jewish community. They also have Friday night outreach meetings. This is a way to kind of kick off Sabbath. So Sabbath in the Jewish community is still Saturday. So Friday night starts it into Saturday night. So they have a meeting on a Friday night, and they do a lot of kickoff things of those traditional things that the Jewish community would do in their own homes in the larger community of a group, and then they share the gospel every Friday. So both of those are great ways that they show how God's intent has always been a Messiah. His intent has always been to bring us back to him and showing how that is really God's heart for them and connecting that to the culture that they already celebrate. As far as those Friday outreach meetings, the other way you can pray is they have a kind of change coming in where they do it. They've done it at a church, just using the church's building for a very long time, not even sure how long, but that church is actually dissolving. And the church is considering, that church has offered to donate the building to them, but there's a lot of logistics there, and they have to decide, is that what God wants us to do? What would that look like upkeep-wise? Because they're not a church. They don't have offerings coming in to pay for everything that has to go into upkeeping a building and all those things. So they have a lot of decisions coming up there. And they also do a lot of Bible studies and other things in their homes from meeting these people at these outreach events. Whether that's meeting somebody at a festival or a Friday night outreach meeting, someone hears that gospel, makes that connection, wants to go deeper, they will offer Bible study opportunities to them. That can be a struggle sometimes because of the language barrier. These are mostly Russian-speaking Jewish people that are learning English, So they can sometimes have barriers of translation and other things going on. They have a number of them going, but I know specifically they had one request recently by a man who doesn't have very much English yet, so they're finding that right person to work with him to dive into those theological things in Russian specifically. So we will keep this slide up kind of throughout the month to remind you to be praying for them. You can get their newsletter via that QR code. We also have this printed on a card. Not sure if it made it out there yet. I will check on that later. But we'll have a card to help you remember to pray for them in these ways. And this will be up throughout the month. And feel free to snag myself, Gambles, Chris Alona, Margie, any of us on the missions team. We're more than happy to help you get connected or answer any of those other questions.
All right, thank you. You can take that with you. All right, thank you, Jules. Hey, would you stand with me as we begin our time with prayer? I know for many this has been a trial week with all that's happened in our country. And I was reading these passages this morning in my personal time, and I just felt like the Lord would want me to share them with you, okay? The Lord speaks to us through His Word, right? He says, I, even I, am He who comforts you. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we're dust. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Words we need all the time, especially in times that are so challenging. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you today, we thank you for the wonderful love that you have for us, and that you are a God that's not far away, that you are a God who has come to us in Christ, and you are the only God, and you are our God. Thank you that you comfort us, that you do not want us to remain in our anxieties, but to cast them on you. We pray in the midst of a week in which there's been great loss in lots of ways, for your comfort, for those that have been affected, for each one, as we feel these things. May we not be those, Lord, who lose heart, but may we be those who continue on as we live out the gospel. We pray, Father, for the Huckles. We thank you for their ministry with the Russian Jews in Philadelphia. Lord, thinking about people who probably would not have had opportunity to hear the gospel, who now are in a place where they do, we thank you for that. We pray for encouragement for the Huckles and for wisdom as they make decisions regarding that ministry. And Lord, as we go forward today in this day of worship, this day of coming together in your name, we pray for you to be glorified, for us, Lord, to be led by your Spirit, to know you more, to be more like Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning, everybody. Let's join together and sing Crown Him with Many Crowns.
Come on.
thinking a lot about those words this week, walking by faith and not by sight. And it tied in quite well to scripture that I read a couple weeks ago. I was reading through and studying Psalm 38. Psalm 38 is a complex psalm because in part of it, David is confessing his sin and asking for God's mercy. And in part of it, David is expressing his need for God's protection. And David says, "O Lord, all my longing is before you. My sighing is not hidden from you. My heart throbs. My strength fails me. In the light of my eyes, it also has gone from me. My friends and companions stand aloof from my plague, and my nearest kin stand far off. Those who seek my life lay their snares. Those who seek my hurt speak of ruin and meditate treachery all day long." And then David gives his response to this. "But I am like a deaf man. I do not hear. I am like a mute man who does not open his mouth. I become like a man who does not hear and in whose mouth are no rebukes. He doesn't allow himself to even hear those words of attack or see them. Why? Because he's looking to the Lord." And he says, "But for you, O Lord, do I wait. It is you, O Lord my God, who will answer." I don't think there's a better time than this week to think about closing our eyes and our ears to the ugliness and evil of the world and to look to him, to not be overwhelmed, and to ask him to give us the vision, walking by faith and not by sight. Let's sing together.
Thank you.
is true. You will reign forever and ever. And we know that we have this promise and assurance that we will be with you in heaven, that we will be worshiping you and crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Lord, I thank you for the truth of these words that we sang this morning, walking by faith and not by sight, so that even when we look all around us and it's so easy to get discouraged, Lord, we know that you are on the throne. We know that you are there to give us comfort. You are near to the brokenhearted. We know that you want to speak truth in love through us to this world around us. So God, we ask that you would equip us to do that. Lord, that we would have the wisdom, because you know what to do, that we would have the vision to see things like you do. Lord, give us that vision, give us that wisdom, give us that strength. Lord, give us the tenacity to not give up, to continue seeking you with our whole hearts. I ask all this in your name. Amen.
You may be seated. Thank you, worship team. We continue our study through the book of Romans, and I find it quite personally refreshing and challenging, certainly, but speaking specifically to us. You know, I was telling Betty last night, as a pastor, and I was talking to some of my pastor friends too, it almost seems like it's the same message every week. I know it's not, but I can tell you it kind of comes down to the same thing every week. And I think that's good for us to remember, okay, because I think sometimes we come in and we want some fresh new message, or we want, you know, this, that, and the other. And certainly I try to be fresh, current, because the Word of God is living and active, and I have to be faithful to that. On the other hand, at the end of the day, the gospel is the gospel. The message is the message. Jesus is Lord. And whenever we talk about life and the struggles of life, I mean, and we come to the end of it, when we come to the end of the message, what is the application? It's pretty much the same thing. We are lost without the Lord. He has loved us so much, he doesn't want us to remain there. He has made the way possible for us to not just exist, but to truly have life. Life now and life forever. And in order for us to know that, it's a walk of faith. I mean, that's the message. And so you're going to hear that same message today. Now, it'll be a little unique because of the context of the passage and certainly the context of our lives, right? I mean, we've been praying about it. We haven't probably said his name, Charlie Kirk, but a lot of you thought about that. But there's others, too, that have been taken by evil people doing things that they shouldn't be doing. And it reminds us how we don't have control in this life. We don't know what's going to happen next. And one of the things we can do, of course, is be afraid. But do you know, there's a lot of passages in the Bible that say, do not be afraid. Now, God doesn't say that to make you feel guilty. I used to think that. You know, you get to that passage in Philippians. Don't be anxious about anything. I think I'm already a qualifier. I'm anxious about everything. Okay, so, I fit right in there. But no, it's there because God knows that we are frail, children of dust. He knows that we struggle with the things that happen. And it's natural. We're natural people, right? So it's natural that we do, because we just don't have control. We want to. If you're like me, you're a control freak, right? You want to take control, but it doesn't work. And God doesn't want us to get to a place where we think we have control, because then we're trying to do it on our own, and that is nothing but more of a mess. All right. when we finally let go, when we walk by faith, not by sight, when we do the things that we've sung about, when we trust the Lord as he says in his word. It doesn't cure all of the struggles, but it does give us the truth to help us keep walking, right? It does give us inward assurance of his love. It does give us hope in the midst of a world that's hopeless many times. I hope you're finding that in your walk. It's not easy. It's not whoopee. I mean, I do believe the joy of the Lord is my strength, but I don't believe it's whoopee joy. I think it's a deeper thing. And I know that that's what gets us through. Amen? You can go home now. Now, you knew you weren't going to be able to get to go home yet. I mean, if you want to leave, it's okay, right? I mean, no, but I had some people come to me earlier and said, Pastor, I might have to leave early today. Don't feel like I don't like your message. That's all right. I just feel like you're under conviction if you leave, so it's all right, you know. Now they're not going to move. I know. Okay, we got you now. I know. Hey, you know, the last 3 weeks in Romans have been what I would say mainly kind of a negative message. I mean, Paul has been writing about the fact that we all, regardless of our cultural background, regardless of our religious perspectives and background, regardless of our thinking we're moral or pagan lifestyles, whatever it might be, everybody is a sinner. Everybody falls short of God's glory. And he's going to say that more and more again, but the key to that was in these last three sermons, really. This is where he has built the case, all right? He's speaking to the Roman Christians. The majority of them in Rome are Gentiles at this point, but the Jews have returned from being exiled from Rome by the emperor and now have been allowed back in. And so now the church has these Christian Jews coming back into a Gentile church. It's kind of an interesting mix. But Paul is writing so that everybody, regardless of whether they're Gentiles or Jews in the church, have a true understanding of what the gospel really is. All right? And it's so important. That's what, by the way, that's what unites us, friends. The gospel is what unites us. We might have all kind of different views of life, all right? But it's the gospel that unites us as believers in Jesus. And the gospel is for, I have been with people that I can't speak their language, but when I know that they are Christians and they know I'm a Christian, it's amazing how we're connected, even though we might not be able to communicate, all right? The gospel brings us together. And so Paul is writing with this in mind as he writes to the Roman church. Today we get the good news Paul's been leading up to. And the good news is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Greek word that is translated gospel is, I'm impressing you with it in the Greek there, but it's still, yeah, those of you who know the Greek alphabet, is right there, right? Okay. But euangelio, okay, all right, is translated gospel. We get the word evangel from that in a sort of a transliteration, okay? And yeah, and the meaning of that word, that's the key here. It means good news. You've probably heard that many times. The gospel means good news, but it also has a flair to that good news meaning. It means a reward for good news, which is kind of an interesting piece. Because it's not just good news we hear, but as we believe the good news, there's a reward in our lives as we are actively in the midst of knowing God's good news personally. And this is what Paul has been heading toward throughout this letter. He told us so in chapter 1. He wrote that the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. Wow, what a great message. Right? The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God at work. We need the power of God to change us. We can't change ourselves. And it saves everyone, regardless of who you are, where you've come from, what you've done, no matter what, it will save everyone who believes. And he wrote this in verse 17 of chapter 1. This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. It settles the issue. All right? God does it. If you're trying to do it on your own, you'll never be sure that it's really enough. And the fact is, it won't be. All right? But if God does it, if God satisfies himself and he states it and makes it clear and you believe it, it's settled forever. What a wonderful truth. And we begin today in this statement that follows what we just looked at last week. And verse 20 of chapter 3, he says, "For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are." Now, what good does it do to know how sinful we are unless there's a solution that we can take hold of? It doesn't do any good. So he begins the section with the words, "but now." Okay, you heard all of this, but here's the rest of the story. Here's what will bring you the good news that you need to hear now, that you know that you don't have a relationship with God in whatever you have done or been before. So let's read this section. I'm going to do like I did last week. I'm going to read through all the section we're going to look at, but then we'll kind of go back and look at each piece of it. So reading Romans chapter 3, 21 to 31, it'll be up on the screen, the New Living Translation. "But now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. For he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just, and he declares sinners to be right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. Can we boast then that we have done anything to be accepted by God? No, because our acquittal is not based on obeying the law, it is based on faith. So we are made right with God through faith and not by obeying the law. After all, is God the God of the Jews only? Isn't he also the God of the Gentiles? Of course he is. There is only one God, and he makes people right with himself only by faith, whether they are Jews or Gentiles. Well then, if we emphasize faith, does this mean that we can forget about the law? Of course not. In fact, only when we have faith do we truly fulfill the law." Throughout this book, you will find Paul saying, "but now," multiple times. It's a great phrase. The good news is that it's that we no longer, all right, no matter what was past, right, no longer do we have to be under the weight of our sin, the guilt, the shame, the separation from God. There is a way for us to be right with God in spite of who we are and what we have done. Our spiritual battle in this life, I mean, we're wrestling with the world, the flesh, and the devil. And he will play with people's minds and take what's going on and say, "oh, it's okay to do that." And then you do that, and then he tells, "well, you're corrupt and you're no good and God would never love you." Well, you know, those are all lies. That's why we need the truth of God's word, right? And the truth is that there is a way for us to be right with God in spite of who we are and what we've done. There's a way for the damages that our sin has brought about to be paid for and satisfied. And it all comes to us from God, planned by God, done by God for us, and made known to us by God. It's all from Him. You talk about love, you talk about commitment to you, regardless of our failures. Wow, there's nothing like this. And so Paul writes, God has shown us a way to be made right with Him. He hasn't left us in our sin. He knows that we cannot save ourselves and that the only solution to the sin problem is for He Himself to provide a substitute. And He wants us to know about it. Remember that His purpose in giving the law is so we will know our need for a miracle. We'll know that it can't happen without help. You see, our sin is too great, and it's impossible for us to fix. Moses and the prophets declared this throughout the Old Testament, as Paul writes to the Jewish believers and the non-believing Jews as they read this. It's that, hey, this is nothing new. There's been a need for the gospel from the beginning of time when man sinned against God. Salvation has always been to believe in God as the only one who can save us, rather than keeping the commandments. Next week we're going to be talking about Abraham. And of course, it's very clear that Abraham was not saved by keeping any law, because it wasn't out yet, for one thing. But it makes it very clear that he believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. The promise of our Savior is throughout the Old Testament. It is good news that God wants us to know so we can be set free. And the way for us to be set free makes it so clear, doesn't it? It's by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. If you have done so, rejoice that it's true. If you have not, rejoice that God has invited you to know and come to Him. Take advantage of it today. The good news of the gospel is that it is available to everyone. It doesn't matter who you are, what you have done or not done, your past, your mess, your successes, your hurts. It is for all who will believe, all who will put their trust in Jesus and not in themselves. Now next, Paul reviews and reminds us again of our dilemma. I don't know about you, but when I was younger and people were encouraging me to memorize Scripture, this was one of the verses we memorized, right? Romans 3:23. You might remember that one, right? Romans 3:23, right? For all have sinned, as I remember memorizing it. It wasn't quite like it's written here, but for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Nice short one for starting out your memorization. Also an important one to remember what our big need is, right? And so Paul says that here in Romans 3:23. Our sin keeps us apart from God. Everyone. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. I think we're having trouble with the slides. And, there we are. Look at that. Wow, I speak and it moves. All right. Wow. You've probably seen this before. This comes from a track I think the Navigators put out. But that there is a chasm that our sin has created between us and God. And we don't have all the pieces, parts I've seen on this kind of a picture, but some of them show different attempts that people have made, whether it's being a good person or giving money or reading the Bible all the way through or going to church every Sunday, being a church member. I mean, there's lots of things you could see that people would try to get across that chasm. But all of them fail. Every one of them, the person, down to the bottom. Even if you get almost to the edge, it's not enough. And the only thing that makes a difference, the only way to get to a relationship and be on the God side is the cross of Christ. And I don't have that slide, but you can see the cross across there. But this slide, we'll show the next one. Go ahead there. shows that you can get pretty close, but on our own, you can't make it. Boy, how disappointing. How disappointing it would be to be trusting in something that doesn't get you there, right? To come to the end of life and to realize that maybe you think you're going to make it, that you've tried so hard only to fail. But it's more than just getting to heaven. It's about being right with God now and forever. Jesus came, he said, that we might have life and have it abundantly. That's just not eternally. That's abundantly now and forever. The kingdom of God comes to us through receiving Christ right now. Eternal life begins when we receive Jesus. Now, we realize it's not all it could be, and we yearn for heaven. Someday it'll be amazing. Yeah. Be overwhelming. It's so overwhelming that God has given us some glimpses in his word, but it's pretty limited what we know, because I don't think we can know. I think it's beyond these temporal minds. Absolutely. You see, the answer to our dilemma is not our attempts, but it's from God. I love this passage, verse 24. Yet God, even though we don't make it, yet God, with undeserved kindness. That's what grace is, by the way. Undeserved kindness. I think every heart, whether people will admit it or not, yearns to know the undeserved kindness of God. Many people who don't know the Lord are struggling deeply within, or they won't admit it. It shows up in lots of different ways. They feel that there isn't a God, or they feel that if there is, that he can't be trusted, that because of the evil in this world, he must not be good. I mean, there's all kinds of things that go through people's minds. The truth is that the evil in this world is not from God. He is not the author of evil. The Bible makes it very clear. But he is the one who loves those he's created and yearns for them to come to know him. But the stubbornness of mankind, the rebellion of men throughout history, that's where it started in the garden. It was a rebellion that took place. And it has to be broken. And we have to yield to God. But what we're yielding to is not to a God who is ready to pour his wrath on you, but a God who wants you to avoid the natural consequences of your sinful living. And he wants to give you, oh my goodness, this is so wonderful. I wish everybody could get it. Oh, it's so wonderful that the undeserved kindness of God, if you come to him by faith, will declare you righteous. Are you excited about that, Christian? That's what keeps us going. We do not deserve anything on our own. But we have everything that we need in Jesus. Everything. And you know what? God said it. I need to believe it. And it will change all of this. It'll change. If I really believe, it does make a difference. How can God say that we're righteous? Because Jesus is. Right? I've accepted Christ, but I know who I am in myself. And in myself, I'm still pretty messed up. I'm still wrestling with a lot of stuff that I think should be gone. I still have thoughts that I don't believe are righteous thoughts, all right? I still say things and act in ways that I don't believe are rightly representing the wondrous righteousness of Jesus Christ. And I have to confess my sins daily But the great news is the loving God who makes us righteous in Christ also promises us that in Christ, if we come to Him regularly with our sins, that He will wash us clean again and again and again, and we have the righteousness forever. I can come back around. I'm the one that's the mess. Jesus is good. But if I confess my sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all righteousness. You see, it is complete. When Jesus hung on the cross, He cried out the word tetelestai, an Aramaic word, which was a merchant word that was stamped on a bill that was paid in full, never needing to be paid for again. God's undeserved kindness declares us righteous because of the great price that was paid by Christ on the cross for us. It's free for us, but very costly to God. Maybe you've seen this, a great thought in taking the letters of grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. We receive forgiveness, eternal life, peace, purpose, a right relationship with God, because Jesus was rejected, beaten, suffered, was crucified, and then overcame death for us and rose from the grave. You see, Jesus not only redeemed us, but He also was the sacrifice for our sin. The word used here indicates a sacrifice that satisfies the wrath of God. Some translations use the word propitiation, okay? In the pagan religion, this would be doing things to try to placate the anger of the gods. In this case, in the light of the one and only holy God, He loves us but hates evil, and we cannot placate His righteous anger. We have no means to do so. But God in His love has done for us what we could never do by ourselves. 1 John 4:10 says this, "This is real love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins." Paul next points to this transaction as proof that God was being fair. Remember, in the previous sections we looked at, he addresses the question that was coming from the Jews of fairness. He says, some might say, it's unfair for God to punish us since our sin promotes His righteousness. The fairness of God is demonstrated by His not punishing those who sinned in times past. So He has done that. It could be said that this shows a lack of justice since a moral universe demands punishment for sin. But God is eternal. And He knows that He will provide what is demanded. The sacrifice shows God's fairness. The cross was always His plan to promote the demanded sacrifice to satisfy His righteousness and therefore justifying those who have sinned, demonstrating His own justice. God's justice is demonstrated by declaring sinners right in His sight when they believe in Jesus. The just God who demands justice has satisfied His own demand, and therefore He grants freedom from sin and judgment to those who are free from it. Free from sin, free from judgment, if we believe in Jesus, the one who was sacrificed to make it possible. You see, believing in Jesus is to stop believing in yourself as the one who will make yourself right with God, which is impossible, and fully accepting and realizing that what He has done for you is to declare you right if you'll believe. God is fair, He is just, and He declares sinners right in His sight. What a thought that God, through belief in Christ, declares you and me. He says it. It's stated. He says, "You're right with me." You might not always feel like you're right with Him, but Christ's sacrifice is complete. It's not based on our feelings, all right? Our feelings will come as we think about the right things, but oftentimes our feelings will lead us all over the place too. It's based on the truth of what God has done. Dear saint, believe it. Rest in it. Thank God for it. Praise Him. Yield yourself more and more to Him. Our acquittal is not based on obeying the law, which we cannot possibly do. You may say, I've not broken all of the law, so I'm pretty good. Well, listen to this from James 2:10. The person who keeps all of the laws except one is as guilty as a person who has broken all of God's laws. Wow, that's pretty strong stuff, isn't it? We have nothing to brag about. The only true thing we can say is that we are sinners and cannot be accepted by God as a result of anything we do. Once you get to that place, you're ready to repent and believe. Amen. Thank God that He brings us to that place. By the way, even getting to that place is God's grace. He brings us to a place where we realize how much we need Him. He loves us that much. And as Paul says in Romans 1, there's not going to be anybody with excuse. You're not going to be able to say at the end of it all, standing before God, oh Lord, I never knew. Especially everybody in this place. Because you're hearing it right now. Yeah. God is faithful. He loves us. He makes the way. We are justified by faith alone. And by the way, not faith plus something else. Faith alone in Jesus. It's not that we believe in Jesus and then we still kind of try to work our way along. No. No, that's messing it up. That's saying Jesus didn't do enough. He did it all. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Amen. So we're made right with God through faith and not by obeying the law. Faith in what God has done for us. And this wonderful, undeserved kindness of God is available for all who will believe, regardless of our culture or religious backgrounds. You are Gentile. God is the God of all people, and Jesus died for the world. Each person you have known or will ever know is loved by God, and Jesus died for them. And they need to know and believe to be saved. Do you believe that? I mean, I have to work on that lots of times. But it's still true. And I need to adjust myself to think truly. Right? When I look at a person, Lord help me to see them as You do. They might be a big mess and they're a thorn in my side and I'm having a hard time with them. And it's just, will they just be quiet? God loves them. C.S. Lewis said that every person you see, someday, he said, that person that irritates you, you might see them in a whole different form in eternity, and you might even want to bow down before them. He says, you're going to see what God can do. I was thinking this week, I hesitate to say some things about the dynamics of the week because there's so many political sides to these things, and it's difficult. I want to stay in what is true, okay? And I said to Betty, I said, wouldn't it be something if the assassin in prison came to know Christ, and someday the person who fired the shot and the person who received the shot would embrace in heaven. That's the gospel. That's the power of the gospel. It doesn't matter who you are. If you come to the cross, even the thief on the cross, he was a rat. But Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. Dear friends, that's the power of the gospel. That's the truth that we have in our lives through faith in Christ. It's beyond what we truly can fully grasp. It's the undeserved kindness of God. But He gives it to those who will believe. He transforms a life for eternity. Hallelujah. God will make all people right with himself through faith in Jesus. Now, Paul ends this section with another rhetorical question. Can we forget about the law? Kind of makes sense in the argument, right? Okay, well, the law doesn't change us, so what good is the law? Well, he already told us that the law was to lead us to Christ. Now he's saying, all right, well, we have Christ, and that's the fulfillment before God of his justice, and we know him through that, not through the law. So what good is the law? And Paul says it's still good. It's still God's way to walk this life. I mean, it's still the way of the Lord. Jesus fulfilled all of the law, you know. That's what made him the perfect sacrifice. Nobody else ever did that. He did it. When he hung on the cross, he was perfect. There was not a bit of sin in him. He had never done anything against the law of God. Wow. Ain't nobody like that except Jesus. Yeah. It's an old gospel hymn, right? Or a spiritual song. Ain't nobody like Jesus. It's so true. Yeah. But Paul says, hey, we can't forget about the law. Of course not. And he says, if we have faith, then we will truly fulfill the law. Kind of goes to what James goes ahead to talk about. If we have faith, it will show. All right? Don't just tell me you have faith. It needs to show. I mean, if this is God at work, and if we come to him by faith in Jesus and what he has done, it should show in a changed life, because that's what God does. Now, it's not immediate. Those of you who have been Christians for a while, you know you're still in the process, right? Nobody becomes immediately perfect. Someday we will be, but it's not here. But we're in the process of being sanctified. But I can tell you, in God's standing, he sees you as the one who has completely fulfilled his law, because by receiving Christ, he looks through Christ at you. And Jesus is the perfect one. If he's your Savior, God says, you're righteous. Not because you did it, but because Jesus did it for you. Hallelujah. That's the gospel. We are no longer God's enemies. Rather, we become his children. And a child of God begins and continues to live in the way his Father designed and desires. We can become all that God has planned for us to be, because Jesus promised and sends the Holy Spirit to dwell in those who put faith in him. And the Spirit of God is able to lead us in life choices and lifestyle that is a redeemed life. If we fail, which we do, it's not because God has failed, but we failed him. We still struggle and wrestle, but we're not to give up. Oh, this is the message of the gospel as well. If you've come to Christ and you fail, get up. Don't stay down. Get up. You can get up. I've had times in my life where I thought I couldn't get up. But by God's grace, through a lot of different things, reading his word, praying, the impact of other Christians, all of those things, he doesn't let me stay down. And I stand before you today because of that. And I'm looking forward to when it will all be fulfilled when I go there. But at the moment in time, I need to live out what Hebrews 10:35 and following says. Do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance. Wow, that's great terminology. Patient endurance is what you need now. Anybody need some patient endurance? I do. We all do. But you got it. That's what it's saying. You need this now. God gives it to you. Hold on to what you have so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. Hallelujah. We have been justified by faith in Jesus, and we have been transformed and are God's children, and we are being conformed to be like Jesus by the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we have a key role, and that is to continue to trust the Lord and patiently endure and do his will. Paul writes this letter to the Roman Christians to encourage them to know what is true, to believe it, and live it. The key to it all is not how we may feel, but rather who we are. in Christ. Romans 12:2 tells us to let go and let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. I need to think the truth and not the lies that I can fall into believing. It's interesting. I've known this for a long time, and I have practiced this many times, but I don't continue to always do it. I sometimes let my thoughts drive me. I sometimes get under the weight of what I think rather than the truth of God's word. But I don't need to stay there. I can be transformed by the renewing of my mind, and I need God's word to direct me to what is true. I was telling our elders the other night, I said, you know, this is very real to me. Because we're in this expansion thing. And I tell you what, I sometimes wake up at night or thinking during the day like, oh my goodness, I mean, we're doing well, but is it going to be all right? When's the shoe going to drop? I mean, and there's just stuff that swirls around in my head. It's not just that. There are other things I get anxious about. What do I do with that? Well, if I let it go on, it doesn't help. I just get worse. The spin goes faster. But if I think about what the Lord says, and I really believe it, and I realize that He says, do not fear. I'm with you. If I realize He says it over and over because I need it, and I get into that, and I let that get into my head, it gets into my heart, it gets into my life, I am different. In the moment. And that's the walk of faith, friends. It really is. It's not that you have it all together and you're just cruising along, because that ain't the way it works. And if you believe that, you're going to be disappointed, because in about 2 minutes, it's going to go the other way. I mean, it doesn't take long to kind of get back where you were. You have to stay at it. Stay at it. Persevere. And you can, because the Lord is with you. We sing a song here once in a while. When it's good, I'm blessed, and when it's not good, I'm blessed. And that way it goes, something like that. I'm a child of God. When it's a good day, I'm a child of God. When it's a bad day, I'm a child of God. Yeah, I mean, that's what we're talking about here. It's not about how the day's going. It's not really how I'm going. It's that God's true, and He always is going to be the same. I can trust Him. I need to get my mind in line with Him. And I can do that. You can do that. Don't tell me you can't change your mind. You probably heard me say this before. All right, you're having an argument with somebody in your home, right? The phone rings. You pick it up. You don't go, you go, hello. You changed your mind. You can do it. God's given you that capacity. Do it. Don't tell me you can't. Because you can. Because Jesus is good. And He gives us all we need. Peter writes, I think I might have skipped this over here. I'm going to go back to it. I'm driving the guy on the slides crazy probably. But 2 Peter 1:3 says, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Hey, thanks for getting that up. Good job. I've been in my devotions, sorry, a little bit longer today. I'm in my devotions. I'm almost done, so hang in here, okay? I've been reading this book. I might have mentioned it before. It's called The Valley of Vision. It's Puritan prayers. So when you read it, it sounds like people back in the 1600s, but which in some ways is kind of good, because, now don't get me wrong, I'm not going back to the King James Version. I mean, I appreciate it, but I still have trouble, okay, trying to figure out what it's saying. But it does make me think through what it's saying. But I just wanted to read here the end of this prayer. Actually, this is very fresh. I just read it this morning. Okay. Just before he prays this part, he's thinking about clouds of darkness and unbelief and my own sin, the struggles of life. But this is where we end in our prayer. This is where we think right, okay? When I am afraid of evils to come, comfort me by showing me that in myself I am a dying, condemned wretch, but that in Christ I am reconciled, made alive, and satisfied. That I am feeble and unable to do any good, but that in Him I can do all things. That what I now have in Christ is mine in part, but shortly I shall have it perfectly in heaven. Persevere, Christian. God's word is true. And in Christ, you have been made right with God. Believe it. Keep thinking it because it's true in the Lord. And live it out. And you'll be amazed at all that He's doing and will do. Father, thank you for this day to look into this passage of your word. Thank you that your word is living and active. Thank you that it applies to us no matter what is going on in us personally, in our lives around us. That your word, Lord, reveals your heart, reveals your plan, reveals the gospel, reveals that Jesus is the hope that we have, and that in Him our sins are paid for. In Him we are right with you. In Him we can go on knowing that someday we'll be in heaven. In Him, Lord, no matter what we face day by day, that you will work out all things together for good. Because we love you. Because you loved us first in Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen.
Please stand as we close in worship today.
look forward to that day. But we're not there yet. We're still here. And Jesus is with you. And he loves you, and he loves those he puts you in touch with.